WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
I don't know. Don't buy those groceries just yet. And bundle up if you're thinking about tomorrow morning. After the rain comes the cold, and sounded like it's going to be down in the 20s. Good evening, and welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. It is the 10th day of November, and happy birthday, 250th birthday, to the U.S. Marine Corps. It's also Area Code Day, and I guess it's Area Code Day because that's when the telephone company, and I think at that particular time there really was only Ma Bell, maybe it was just Bell, maybe it wasn't Ma Bell, but 1951 was the first time that we could on our own dial long distance. I had no idea. I just thought that back in 1951, you took the crank and you turned it a few times. And then Clara or Sarah would be there and you say, Sarah, hook me up with Albuquerque. And that's how it went until 1951, when area codes were established. Remember when we had two area codes in this state? 617 was basically Worcester. You could cut the state in half, maybe a little bit farther west. And then all the way to the east, it was all 617. And then you had 413 out in western Massachusetts. Now we've got area codes all over the place, and they're layered on top of each other. I'm a 774. Kind of guy here in the midst of 508 country. I remember when I moved back to Massachusetts in 1990, I had a 508 area code. That's the area code that they gave my mom after they took that area that was 617 and made it 508. And then all of a sudden there was a 781. And even though we were 508, we had to become 781. Couldn't quite figure that out. But that's what happened. And then I moved down here and I'm back in the 508. And then all of a sudden I'm a 774. And I used to listen to people down here when they were talking. They would say phone numbers like 508-99-97-333 or something akin to that. I'd never heard that. It was three numbers, then four numbers. But down here, people 99, I guess because a lot of people in the New Bedford, Dartmouth, and I guess Fairhaven area, their phone numbers started 99 and then whatever the remaining five numbers were. Are there any people that still do that? 99, then whatever the rest of the numbers are. So I guess we could say 508-99-0-5-0-0. Is that how you do it? No, you got to put the six in there, I guess. 996-0-5-0-0, something like that. Anyway, that's our phone number, 508-996-0500. So every once in a while, I can't help but believe that Donald Trump should be on Saturday Night Live. He is such a comedian. To think that after SNAP benefits went out, that he somehow got a communique out that basically stated that the people who received the SNAP benefits had to return the SNAP benefits because he's pressing forward with some type of lawsuit. And I think a judge already ruled on that and said, you know, forget it, Mr. President. I don't know if he's going to take it to the next level or not, like he did on Friday. But can you imagine that? So, and I did not know this. I went back after doing Barry's show today, and I was listening to part of Governor Healey's press conference that she had during the noon hour. And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, you know, that can't be, you know, it can't be true. The president didn't do that. He's not that lame. And then I heard on the news that indeed the president did do that. And I'm thinking, well, look, if he thinks people are going to give that money back after they waited so long to get it, after some of them stood in food lines and whatnot, he's crazy. And that's pretty much, without using that language, pretty much what Governor Healey was alluding to. You know, you've got your money. Go ahead and buy whatever it is that you're going to buy with that money, food-wise. You know, I don't want to really go down that particular road about who deserves food stamps and who doesn't. But look, the government giveth. Before they try to take it away, you better use it. Whatever, you know. I don't know what more to say about it. Whatever. If he's going to be that petty, well, we know. We know. Anyway, the Briansbee quote of the day. My mother did not raise me to ask for permission to lead. My mother did not raise me to ask for permission to lead. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley with the Briansbee quote of the day. All right, let's almost get real here. Patriots. That it's hard to believe after what we have been watching on the football field since Tom Brady left. They have won 7 games in a row? That right? 8-2 record? Unbelievable. Great team so far. Things to be leery of. Whitman Hanson School District laying off 25 staff members today. Why? They didn't manage their money properly, and the writing's on the wall. The federal government is in the process of at least attempting to close the Federal Department of Education, making cuts in DEI and a lot of offshoot type programs. And you have no idea if the Commonwealth is going to be able to pick up the pieces after the federal government cuts. Whitman Hanson decided, well, we better move, be a little bit more proactive here. And they have started to make some cuts. 25 staff members. I'm thinking in the town of Dartmouth, if we needed to make 25 school employee staff cuts, where would be the proper places to cut? And I can't help but think that the school department on Bush Street, which is where the school department building is in the town of Dartmouth, not that people don't do their job and try to do it to the best of their ability, but how many people do you need in the department bureaucracy compared to how many teachers you might want to keep. Then I think we can get into custodian type help and how many buses you need and that kind of stuff after the fact. But that's, if I'm thinking of personnel, I'm thinking of cutting where the bureaucracy is. And that would be at the school department building. If you had to cut 25 folk out of New Bedford, where would you make that cut? Same with Fairhaven and some of these other school districts. Wouldn't you cut the people that aren't providing direct service to the student? Just my thought on that. But Whitman Hansen has started to make these cuts. They may have been in a little bit more precarious position, but my guess is we're going to find other school districts running up the same wall in the very near future. Okay, tail end of Barry's show today, I was talking about a couple of things. I don't want to call them pet projects, but issues that I've been keen on outside of education, but issues I've been very keen on over the past 25, 30 years. And as I think about it, with one of them a lot longer than 30 years, more like 45 years. Both issues are personal preference type of issues. You want to do it, but excuse me. I think there's a part of it that actually is, if you're forced into it, it's not a personal preference. And when it comes to prostitution, if you're forced, that could easily be a sign of sexual assault, prostitution, you know, we can go trafficking. We can take it myriad steps. When it comes to drugs, most of the time, and I do mean most of the time, because there are a-holes out there that will purposely get you high to get you hooked on drugs. I'm not talking about somebody that intentionally, and I do mean intentionally, either injects you or spikes your drink to make sure that you're high and you want to be high on a more regular basis because of that. But if you consent to do an illegal drug, I don't think that should be a crime. And I think it becomes more than just a little crime because, A, you consented to do that drug, but then the question is, how did you get said drug? And because there's such an appetite, and we can try to guess the reasons why people like to do drugs. My first time smoking smoking marijuana was at a party after a football game. And, you know, we were at a party. And that's how it got started. Nobody forced me to do it. And so, that's consenting. Now, I was under the age, but that's how I got started. I'm willing to bet that many people got started drinking beer, drinking alcohol, one of two ways. One, they were at a party with people their own age, and not that it was peer pressure, but everybody else was kind of doing it. And you said, well, what the hell? And you may have even said, well, I don't want to be left out. I don't want them making fun of me. That would be a form of peer pressure, but you could have picked yourself up and walked out of the room. The hell with what somebody else may have said. Same thing with the marijuana. When you start looking at some of the other drugs, people who have done cocaine, usually they were doing it because somebody else was doing it. And they say, well, what the heck? We're going to a concert, whatever the case may be. They volunteered to do it, notwithstanding the age. Now, let us get into the 18 and up category. And you decide you want to smoke, drink, smoke cigarettes, do cocaine. For the person between the ages of 18 until they turn 21, actually the night before they turn 21, it is illegal to do all of those drinks, drink, smoke, any of the drugs. When you turn 21, you can drink and you can smoke. You could even smoke marijuana. But you can't snort cocaine. My guess is you can't do mushrooms. Not that you would want to do mushrooms. You can't do peyote buttons. You can't do LSD. Outside of the marijuana, I haven't done any of that stuff. But the opportunity has come my way to do all of them. And I just never had the appetite to want to even go down that road. In fact, I do recall one time saying, you know, knowing the type of person that I am, I might try it and like it and want to do it again. And so, no thank you. All of these are personal choices. We all, at least in the United States of America, have the right to make personal choices. If I read my Declaration of Independence and my Constitution, it's stated right there. In fact, when it comes to illegal drugs, I don't see anything in the Constitution that says the federal government has a right to regulate drugs. Now, they do on interstate commerce. However, since they have made drugs illegal, the interstate commerce clause doesn't really play a role here. It is my contention that the war on drugs is more harmful to people than the drugs that the people consume. And it's backed up by plenty of literature. More people die at the hands of the war on drugs than they do by consuming the drugs. I suppose there are people that have come down with some kind of cancer from smoking marijuana. I think I would be blind to think that it's never happened. I don't know. I don't see anything that tells me that really has. But, you know, I'm willing to believe that some of the active ingredients in marijuana could lead to lung cancer. There are more people that have died from smoking cigarettes than from marijuana, cocaine, heroin, alcohol takes its toll on people more than any of the hard drugs. Both of those are legal. I heard from a couple of people earlier today, one in particular, who was stating that he didn't see anything good by legalizing drugs. And my response to him, it was a great call. My response to him is, A, we really don't know, because the last time illegal drugs were legal, we weren't around. But for all the ills that he was bringing up about illegal drugs, the fact of the matter is the biggest ill of them all is the war that making drugs illegal has caused. I don't bother to look at the federal government dollar numbers anymore about what they spend to fight the war on drugs. Back in the early 1990s, I'm reading that we were spending $50 billion at that time in that money, early 1990s money, on the war on drugs. A war that has taken more lives than the drugs themselves. The war that has incarcerated more people than the amount of people it's helped. And we've gotten to the point where we're fighting the war on drugs outside of the United States of America. Blowing up boats that we're told are headed to the United States, when the folks from Venezuela and the folks from Colombia, the Colombians who purportedly load those boats with cocaine, they tell us that when they have boats in the Caribbean, those boats are usually earmarked for Europe, not the United States. It's a war on drugs. We're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars every year to fight a losing battle. And to say that you don't see anything good happening by making the drugs legal, look what we are doing by keeping them illegal. Somebody gets arrested for doing drugs. They've got a blemish on their record, and it's now harder for them to find a job. It wouldn't be that way if drugs were legal. And maybe, just maybe, that's one step ahead of somebody that's really going to end up on Skid Row. Now, I can sit here and make an argument that you shouldn't use drugs. There are plenty of examples of people listening to my rant right now, as well as other people throughout this country that don't do drugs, that are fine examples. But it's a personal choice. That is part of what freedom is all about. To make risky choices, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. That doesn't mean that because I made a risky choice and now I'm down and out and on Skid Row, that you should have to pay for it? No. My mistake, I got to fix it. But this war on drugs has to stop. It's not doing anybody any good. You get into then asset forfeiture. Is that right? Somebody's in a car with somebody else that has drugs, and that person loses his car. He may not have even known the other person had drugs. Really? That's what government does now. That's what government seems to be allowed to do. against illegal searches and seizures. There are plenty of things in the Constitution that says that that's wrong. But nobody wants to fight it because you got people that are believing drugs are a scourge, that they need to be illegal. I can keep going. You're more than welcome to comment on this at 508-996-0500 or 508-996-0500. The other one is prostitution. What's today's date? The 10th? It's a little early, but around the 20th of the month, you will find that in New Bedford and Fall River and other so-called gateway cities, the part-time prostitutes start to come out. Why? They've gone through their government-allotted food stamps and money, and as a part-time gig, they prostitute to make some extra money. I had a caller this afternoon, and she said, you won't find too many women that say that this is the career that they wanted. It may not be, but just because you are low on funds, that doesn't mean you can't get a part-time gig at McDonald's, Dunkin's, or wherever. It doesn't say that you have to go out and prostitute. You go out to prostitute because it's quick money. There are many prostitutes that use that money to feed their family. There are also prostitutes out there that use that money to feed their habit. It's a gig. It brings in a little extra do-re-mi. I'm not recommending it for anybody. It's out there, and if a woman or a man believes that that's the quick fix for them, and the person that is going to pay for the adventure is consenting. You've got two consenting adults. I do want to emphasize adults. Then who am I to say, no, you can't do that? Who is government to say it's against the law? We're enforcing a law that says prostitution is illegal. Why? I mean, I've heard the excuses. One of the main ones, you know, health. Well, in places where prostitution is legal, look, don't believe me. It's easy enough to check. I know I have. Clark County, Nevada. Amsterdam, Rotterdam, in Holland, the Netherlands. Vietnam. Vietnam is held different today than it was during the Vietnam War with prostitution. Check these areas out, because what they have done is they have places where you can do prostitution that are more or less safe zones. They have regular medical checkups for the people that participate in prostitution. So why is it okay in Nevada, but it's not okay in Massachusetts? I believe at at a particular time, and not too long ago it changed, but certain prostitution was okay in Rhode Island, I believe Providence. But it's my understanding some of those laws have been changed. So to me, I don't hear, again, I'm here, I'm not in Nevada, I'm not in Providence on a regular basis, but I don't hear about major problems dealing with prostitution in those areas. So I would be willing to say, for the sake of this conversation, whether we're talking Fall River, New Bedford, Dartmouth, because Dartmouth's got a hopping strip club, what if prostitution is allowed in certain facilities that are set up? Or how about this? Keeping it off the street, you can do it in the comfort of your own home. So in other words, you make a rendezvous date, whether you do it text messaging or email, Facebook, FaceTime, whatever the case may be, and you set up to meet whomever at whatever time for a specific amount of money. And to make government happy about this, to make government happy, prostitutes, you know, those that get the fee, it's taxable income. So maybe, again, this is just off the top of my head. For every $50 made, you pay $4 to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Maybe $5, whatever. What's the state tax? 5%, 5.25. So you pay $5.25 to the state for every $100. So break that down in half for every 50. Just a thought. It probably will work. It seems to work in those other places. Hello.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
I am. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I totally kind of disagree with you, but to each their own. I mean, we're actually going back farther into time, the beginning of, you know, back in the day of Jesus when everybody banned prostitution, drugs, gambling, everything, and you know, the mob came and they did it, and, you know, we arrested a whole bunch of them, and now we're just allowing everything to happen. You know, marijuana, which I didn't agree with as well, being sold. So all the bad stuff's okay as long as we make money on it. And, you know, regarding the bombing, I'm not saying it's right, but you know what? He at least is doing something. We've allowed...
Can you say that again, please? I just want to be clear.
So, say what? Which part?
About the bombing.
Well, I you know, if we have the correct intel and these guys are really know what's going on in there, you know, it's been a long time that we, you know, we've allowed drugs to come in here. I mean, probably back in the 60s, probably back in the 50s, for all I know. But you got to kind of go after it somewhat to stop people from doing it. You know, casualties of war is casualties of war. Nobody wants them to go, but I don't know. It's we do nothing, we get nothing. We do something, it's wrong. I just don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what anybody would do. You know,
when Mexico, you say casualties of war,
yeah,
there is no declared war.
Well, there isn't war, but, you know, we're trying to go after these people that are actually bringing drugs into the to the country.
But we don't know that they are bringing drugs into the country.
Well, you don't know that they're not.
Well, okay, but to your point, you're right. I don't know that they're not, so I'm not going to kill somebody because I don't know.
Well, I mean, do you really actually think that we're spending on this money and going after these people just for, you know, for kicks? Do you really?
I don't think it's about kicks. The answer to your question, I think absolutely government would spend the money. I don't know your particular age, but I can remember back just 20 years ago, there were weapons of mass destruction, we were told, in Iraq, and the government knew that there weren't. So, yes, I do believe it will happen.
Yeah, well, it did, and I totally, on that point, I totally agree with you. But, you know, we got a different president now, and I don't know. What I'm saying to you is if you don't do anything to prevent, it's going to just keep going. It's going to get worse. I mean, I just see this whole world going totally upside down. It's just a shame that the country that everybody loved and wants to come to is actually getting turned inside out. I'm so discouraged about it. So that was my...
As I like to say... And I understand you're not the only one discouraged. I'm discouraged myself. But I think we have to do the correct thing, not just do something.
Well, so you're talking about doing the correct thing. So, you know, setting up prostitution and getting girls hooked up and becoming prostitutes because we turn it legal is okay. You know, allowing marijuana for kids to buy now, it's okay.
Where is that coming from?
Well, it's just it's really not okay, but we're allowing it.
No, I don't think we are allowing it because for one thing, we've got laws that's in the Commonwealth and I believe every other state that has legalized marijuana. None of that is for anybody under the age of 21.
Yeah, but it's more easily, you know, you could.
You think it's my mistake. If you want to call back, you're more than welcome to do that. I hit the wrong button. You were in the middle of a thought. Hello, I'll take you right now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Did you ever watch To Catch a Smuggler on the National Geographic?
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Okay, they show all the airports and how they almost look like they catch people that have drugs on them. Drugs come through the bridges of Mexico to the United States. They even come in gasoline. It seems to be the criminal and the cop, they one-up each other, and they find another way to devise how to bring in drugs. And they weigh the drugs, and then you get a prison term according to how much you're bringing in. Some of it is like the street value of $6 million on the street. It is amazing. And they do the underwater submersibles. They have machine guns. And the Coast Guard used to go out.
Wait a minute. Who's got the machine guns? Who's got the submersibles?
The submersibles. The people that are are drug runners.
Okay.
They have top-of-the-line stuff because they got a lot of money.
I think it's
amazing how the dogs help. There's dogs that detect cell phones. Unbelievable what the technology. And instantly, they have little packets. They put the drug they find, the unknown powder, into the packet. And if it turns blue, they know it's fentanyl. It's amazing. And Columbia Airport cracks me up because they don't let anybody put drugs in Columbia. You should see it. It's fascinating.
So the country that is known as the number one exporter of cocaine, they don't let anybody bring drugs into their country.
Oh, you should see. The airport looks like a heavily armed army base. They do New York City, Chicago. They'll do the one in L.A. Unbelievable how they track. And then they ask the people, why did you do this? Some have it. They x-ray. They x-ray the trucks. They x-ray the people. And they say, you're going to get killed if we don't get that out of you. Well, you got to go to the hospital. Because some of them, they do it for the money. And they only get a meager amount of money, being the mule, while the bigwigs are getting all the money.
Of course. I think that's the way it's always been.
You should watch this, because it is amazing, fascinating to watch.
And what channel is it on?
I have it on 210, the National Geographic.
National, I don't have cable, yes. So National Geographic is the channel. I'll try to check it out. I've seen some programs where they catch people bringing in illegal drugs, but I don't have it quite the way that you. I've seen one place where they're at airports in Hawaii and other countries, and it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything out of Colombia, and I find that interesting. You can't sneak one. You can't sneak the drugs in, but they have no problems getting it out.
Well, they know they hop. They'll go. They can't get to the United States. They'll go from Colombia to like England and catch a plane to get from England to the United States because they know they just Colombia is not going to let you just go to the U.S. They know how to read your body language. They suspect certain people right away. They take you right out of the line. Come over here. We're going to check you.
Hmm.
They get a lot of people, let me tell you.
Wow. I bet they do.
It won't come on for a few days because I just advanced the TV guide, and they're not going to show it until about Wednesday or Thursday. And there's a whole bunch. It's just like binge watching. You just keep watching them.
Okay. Thank you. I do appreciate it. Must-see TV. Watching people get bagged, bringing drugs. Again, the stupidity, but somebody's getting paid X amount of dollars and, oh, what the heck, I'll give it a shot. Well, you see what happens, and then you end up with the big jail time. And I've seen, what was that story? The guy that was smuggling in from Colombia, going through Miami. Whew. It became a movie. I think Johnny Depp was the lead. I might have the. I think it was Johnny Depp. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Brian's Beat on WBSM.
The supply chain is not part of the economy. The supply chain is the economy.
This is WBSM.
Good to the last drop.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Making a choice to cut off food for people right now. He needs to reverse that. We need to feed our families.
Maura Healey talking about Donald Trump. So my question to you, whether we're talking drugs or prostitution, do we as a society, do we let government ruin families, ruin someone's employment, give them a record, throw them behind bars, clog up the jails, because we don't like them doing drugs? And if the answer to that question is, no, you don't want to put them behind bars if they want to clean up, you know, what about their choice to do drugs? They didn't do anything else wrong. Obviously, they got the drugs, so they received drugs. But we put people behind bars for doing drugs. We put people behind bars for selling drugs. We wouldn't have to put people behind bars for selling drugs if the government would allow drugs to be sold on the open market. But they don't. And somehow, some way, We have to figure, you know, why is it you don't hear organized crime out there pitching for drugs to be legalized? Why do you think that is? They don't want drugs legalized because that's their gravy train. You legalize drugs, you're taking money out of their pocket. And I've heard such as to believe, but, you know, I don't have evidence. But there's talk about the fact that while we were in, we, the United States military in Afghanistan, we could have burned a lot of the poppy plants, but we didn't do that. Why? Since we're a nation against drugs, why didn't we burn their poppies? We know that we were getting into the drugs in Thailand, bringing them through to the United States. You know, that's part of the problem. We've got too many people using drugs as the supply chain, making it the economy.
We become what we think about most of the time.
WBSM.
Yeah, light sure tastes great.
Less filling tastes great.
The government may be shut down. Legitimate business funding remains open. See for yourself at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
My back is getting tight. I'm sitting here in traffic on the Queensboro Bridge tonight. I don't care, 'cause all I wanna do is cash my check and drive right home to you. 'Cause baby, all my life I will be driving home to you.
But whether you're in Massachusetts or you think about coming to Massachusetts, you are not welcome to engage in that conduct at any time, in any place, anywhere in this state.